You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer, IndyCornrows.com, and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Well, the Pacers unfortunately lost to the Grizzlies 106-103. It was not the most surprising loss, I would say. I mean, obviously, Oladipo was first game absent, essentially. I mean, I know he missed the second half of the Raptors game, but essentially the first full game without him. That means Tyreke Evans had a start. And this is referring to this set of injuries. Obviously, he missed earlier in the year, so this team is used to him not playing. So let's put that in context as well. But kind of the first game of where they know he was not coming back anytime soon. That's kind of how I put this game in this context. And you can see there were some issues. That's where I kind of want to start today's podcast. And you could tell there were issues, one, when Evans was in the starting lineup trying to direct him into kind of the right plays. The team, I think, scored 5 points in the first 6 minutes, give or take. I think it was 8-5 at like the 7-minute mark. Both teams were not shooting well at the start of the game, but the Pacers particularly weren't, and they didn't really all night. I mean, until like really the last 2 minutes, Pacers kind of got their 3-point percentage back into somewhere that was like not terrible. But you could tell early on Evans didn't quite fit into the flow of the offense, and that was probably just a rust thing where he hasn't done it in a while and he kind of has to shake off his, okay, I'm playing in a new role. I got to figure that out. But yeah, they were kind of, they had to direct him, which was slowing their offense down. And then they really couldn't find, you know, who to rely on with the ball, I guess, on the offensive end. You know, that was the issue. And you could see it with Bojan too, taking a lot of, I would say long threes, contested threes, and even step kind of fading away threes. Because they couldn't figure out kind of who they needed to put the ball to get the attention of the defense. And Memphis is a good defensive team, so that's also kind of why they struggled offensively. Memphis is, I think they're top five in defensive rating. But when you looked at it, it just felt like a little off. Like the team just felt like things just weren't quite flowing. And that kind of actually bled into the bench unit because Tyreke Evans was on the bench unit, and so now he's not. And so then you had Aaron Holiday, you know, Leaf playing minutes, you know, together, and McDermott. So it was a whole thing where it was like, it just felt like there was kind of repercussions of injury. So Memphis is ninth in defensive rating. So not top five, but they're ninth. So that's still pretty good. The Memphis is, I would say, I mean, I think before the kind of recent eight-game skid for the Pacers, they were probably in the top five, the seven range on defensive rating at least. But yeah, and so that's where, you could just tell the offense was off. And you could tell kind of the flow of the game was off and the team didn't quite figure out what they needed to do. And that's something they'll probably figure out as they practice more. You know, McMillan, I think, was kind of trying to figure out what works best and whatnot. I mean, there was a moment in the fourth quarter, I remember, right, where all five bench unit guys were out there. So I think it was Sabonis, McDermott, Leaf, Joseph, and Holiday. And it's kind of when the game got away a little bit. And I remember Thad got off the bench to go back in, and McMillan kind of waved him off for a minute. Obviously called timeout, I think, the next play. But he kind of waved him off saying, like, let's see what happens. You know, there is some of this. Like, you have to just work through it. Like, you can't just, you know, you don't have Oladipo who just solves all these problems. You have to kind of work through some of the weird lineups and the newness of it, because honestly this is your new reality, and so you have to work through it. That's the reality of it. And so the only thought I had watching the game was, would it be better off to just leave Evans on the bench and either somehow start Aaron Holiday, which I know would hurt their defense. I would say maybe start Corey Joseph, then throw off the bench. You know, like, there's just, I don't know, it seems like Evans doesn't quite fit with the starters. And I thought that even during the 11 games that Oladipo missed earlier in the year, that, like, I mean, obviously you can't replace Oladipo, but Evans feels like he's like the reverse of Oladipo, where like he's not really looking for the pass all the time. He's kind of ball hogging, getting to the rim and taking really just, I would say, poor shot choice at the rim. I mean, you know, Evans today didn't take a ton of shots, obviously, today, but just before, it feels like he always feels like he's not taking like the great, you know, the perfect shot, I guess is the way to put it. Because they have to figure out a way to draw the attention of somebody to get Bojan open. That's how this offense kind of flows, you know. The offense flows where Oladipo gets the attention of the defense that lets Bojan sort of function one-on-one on the wing, and he sets some screens and get him wide open, and he's able to kind of nail three-point shots. And that's kind of how the offense flows, and that leads to other things. That leads to Thad's backdoor cutting, because defenses are now trying to overcompensate to Bojan, and then that leaves, you know, Miles Turner open on some pick-and-pops because teams are so worried about Bojan and Vic and not worried about Collison and and Oladipo. Like, there's all this kind of, it's all pieced together. And so that's, we have to figure that out now. I would say don't, you know, I said start Aaron Holiday. I think that. I'm hesitant because I just don't think Holiday is a good enough two guard, I guess, to be in the lineup. And I'm thinking you want to keep your bench intact simply because I think that's going to be the strongest unit of this team now. And you want to kind of keep the Sabonis-Joseph-Evans thing because it was working. Maybe Joseph and Sabonis kind of find it again. They did last year with Lance. They figured it out. So that's always a possibility. But I don't know. I mean, on the Pacers, I definitely would experiment with lineup combinations. Simply because what do you have to lose? I get you kind of want to build some continuity and some consistency. So, you know, but I think we've seen Evans really start with the starter for 12 games. I've never been that impressed by any of the games he's played as a starter. So we should, I don't know, you have to kind of see what happens with that. I would, obviously this is the first game, so these are kind of the initial reactions. We'll kind of see what happens in the next couple games. The other thing I actually did like, which it didn't fortunately work very well, but I like Turner all of a sudden kind of being aggressive. I mean, he took 7 threes, so I think he missed his first 4, and none of them were terrible threes. He has to kind of just be more confident and just take the shot. I mean, that's the biggest thing I've noticed from watching is that he gets the three, and he's not, like, not wanting to take the shot, but he's not super quick into it. He's kind of like, oh, I'm open. All right, let's shoot. Like, he needs to just get the ball and shoot, you know, because you notice when he gets, like, a good pass or he's kind of, like, forced into the three-point shot, he tends to make it more just because it's in a rhythm thing versus, like, him kind of getting the ball, looking around, and then shooting. That's always kind of, I don't know, I'm always iffy on him doing that kind of thing. It's worth noting that most of his threes came, and he hit 2 threes in the last minute when they were down 10, so they kind of came in the garbage time of the game. You know, other things that I liked from tonight's game, I thought Collison did a decent job just kind of trying to direct the offense. I think, you know, it's hard for him right now because there's no Oladipo, so they can put, you know, the best guard on him, or they can kind of, they can swarm him in Miles Turner pick and rolls. That's kind of the best offense pitchers have right now is the Collison Turner pick and roll, and they're, you know, I think it wasn't a ton of Conley into that, but they were really, really pressing Collison on that and not really letting him get the ball to Turner as much on the pick and pop, as much as a lot of Turner getting balls on, like, lots of kick around action. But, you know, the thing with this game is that none of it really, frankly, matters in the sense that this is the first game without Oladipo for the rest of the year, so they're going to have to keep working and figuring it out. You know, the one major suggestion I definitely have is I think T.J. Leaf needs to be out of the rotation. I just don't think I know he had that nice blocking Joakim Noah, but when you play him and McDermott together, you've got just such bad defense. I mean, no, Joakim Noah was just, they were backing down Doug McDermott because they had to either put McDermott or Leaf on him because Leaf couldn't guard him in a lineup with Sabonis and nobody else, you know. I might have even gone on Quinn in this game just to match up to Noah because, you know, Noah had a pretty decent night for a guy who plays 18 minutes, you know, 4 of 7. But, you know, I think also the thing with the Grizzlies is that they've got two really good players in Gasol and Conley. I think if they weren't in the West, they'd be a borderline playoff team in the East, if not the 60 where the Nets are. You have to remember that, you know, the team looks back at their 20 and 30, but really they're probably not a 20 and 30 team in the East. They're probably a 25 and 25 or even 28 and 23 team in the East, which puts them kind of where the Nets are right now. And then, you know, I mean, I think Conley, I mean, I think this is the kind of game where you watch Conley like, oh, he'd be really good in a Pacer uniform. You know, I don't know how you make that happen. I don't know how you made it happen this year without sacrificing a ton of depth. You know, like I said, I think the trade I always had out there was like, I mean, if you put McDermott in, that would be the best. But, like, he would do Evans, Collison, and O'Quinn, which would then leave you with McDermott, Sabonis. It would leave you basically, you have basically 8 guys I think you can trust right now if you add McDermott to that. And that's including Holiday. Well, that's not including Holiday, I guess. Those 8 guys are... Now, including Holiday, that leaves you now with basically you're trading 2 for 1, so you got 6, and then you have to add Holiday into that, so then you're down to, like, essentially 7 guys with Holiday, and then you got Leaf, and so that's not a great rotation for the playoffs. Now, maybe it's worth doing because who cares? You can play Sumner more minutes, and you can, you know, you're going to make the playoffs, and you can just have Conley for now, but I don't know. It's the kind of game where you watch Conley, like, this guy would play really nice on Oladipo, he's going to be really good with this team. You know, I know he makes a ton of money, and that's kind of an issue, but I don't know. I think if you could really figure out a way actually to just give up, like, Evans, McDermott, O'Quinn. Because, I mean, I think McDermott is kind of, it's been kind of eh. Especially, I mean, you could see defensively when he's having to be, like, when you have to play Leaf, he has to be kind of, like, the fourth best defender instead of the worst defender on the court. It's not, doesn't go great for him. And then other things, I guess, that I just kind of I guess, being nitpicky about what I kind of, I guess, didn't like about this team tonight was, you know, I think they didn't do a great job of switching. You know, they would kind of put them in, they get put in picks with Conley and Gasol, and then you have Conley kind of drive to the rim, and they'd be kind of like this panic defense, and all of a sudden Gasol would be standing open. That's how they lost the game. Gasol ended up wide open for a bunch of threes. Yeah, Conley had a nice contested three, and you know that's why he's really good, but Gasol ended up hitting a couple really big threes that either, you know, there was one that I think extended the lead from 6-9. That was huge. But then there were some momentum ones that were big in the first half. I mean, Gasol proved why he's a really good player still. But I don't know. It just seems like it's another pitch we have to work through some things. This game, I wasn't surprised I lost. You know, it's the first game, like I said, from the injury, and you can't really take much into that one. But, you know, the Grizzlies are not like, they aren't bottom-feeding team. I know they're kind of towards the bottom of the West, but they've got two really good players, and this team probably is, I don't know where they've ranked in the East, but it's definitely maybe a top eight East team. So that's how I have to view it. And they're going to pitch to lose more games like this. Without Oladipo, they're not going to beat the bad teams, you know. That was kind of the given. That's why they were on pace for 55 wins before his injury, because they were beating every single bad team. Well, now, I don't know. It's going to be 50-50 kind of toss-up now. They got a tough schedule. Next game against the Warriors, obviously, and we'll talk about that on Monday's podcast. Tony and I will preview that game the whole week. But it's gonna be a long, let's say 34 games left, right? A long 34 games to go. I mean, it's gonna be a struggle. But I do think this team is good enough. I think I was encouraged by Turner kind of stepping in and saying, I'm gonna take 10 shots, I'm gonna take 7 threes, let him keep doing that. I think Holiday, you know, I'm actually fine with Holiday maybe not taking 11 shots, but Holiday shooting, because I think he's a good player, and the more he shoots, the more he'll learn, the better he'll get. So those are the kind of things you have to look at. You know, maybe this thing could turn into kind of Turner becoming an offensive focal and him proving he can do that, and then Oladipo kind of come back and sort of fit in. Maybe another move they make, you know. I'm still hesitant on making a move for Collins, really, because I don't think it leaves him enough depth to actually make the playoffs or make a good playoff run. But, you know, maybe make the move for Collins because it sets you up for the future. It sets you up for next season. That's kind of the goal, right? This year is sort of now you're looking at kind of like the next 34 games is like whatever happens, happens. You know, if you win half of them, great. If you lose 25 of them, it's whatever. I mean, you aren't making a playoff run anyway with Oladipo, and so it's about getting other guys better. It's about developing young guys. But I'm sure they'll continue to play Leaf, but I don't know. If they want to make the playoffs, you know, they need to stop playing Leaf. But if they want to develop young guys, keep playing Leaf. You know, I know Leaf, I don't believe has any hope, in my opinion. I just don't think Leaf has any hope of becoming an NBA player at this rate. He just doesn't seem like he has it, I guess. He just doesn't have the athleticism, I guess, at this point to play defense, and he can't get open enough on offense. And, you know, at least with Holiday, I feel like he has some athleticism on defense that can be valuable, and he is a decent shooter. I don't know, he didn't shoot great tonight, but I felt like at times he felt like he's got a good shot where it could going at a consistent rate. Like I said, Tony and I will be back on Monday with a weekly show. We're going to try more and more this podcast to stop talking about Oladipo, because that's kind of, you know, it's just not worth it to keep bringing him up over and over and over again. So we're going to just try to do that, and we'll see how well we do that. I can't say I'm going to be perfect at that, but I will try my best. We'll probably have 4 podcasts this week and then another one on the weekend, so look forward to that. We'll probably do a mailbag at some point. I guess it's probably time now with the change of course. It's time to see, like, how I didn't mention Oladipo's name there. No, I just mentioned it. But the change of course, might be time to do another mailbag, so look forward to that. You can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnPacers. You can follow me at FriedmanAdam5. You can follow Tony at TEASTNBA. And that is all for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, have a great rest of your day.